Right, and so to all things canine, I'm joined this morning by someone who could be described as a bit of an expert on dogs, also trains them and probably trains the humans as well, Wendy Claxton. Good morning.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. It's probably true, that, isn't it, with you and dogs? You train the humans, really, don't you?
Ideally, yes. We train the humans to train their dogs. So it's quite, I suppose, if you look at it logically, it's a bit bonkers because you've got to train one that simultaneously has to train the other. But it works. It's been working for decades. And that's what we do. It's hilarious, if I'm honest, some days. Other days, it makes you want to ram your head in a door.
Never a good thing, that, is it, really?
No.
Never a good thing. But dogs and canines these days, very popular, very much sort of on point at the moment, I think. You've got to have a dog. You know, if you're a couple and you haven't got a dog, you're not the thing these days. But so many people go out and choose a dog without actually giving too much thought, thinking, oh, how difficult can it be to just get a four-legged friend?
Oh, I know. And as you say, it's got very popular. Dear Boris, I think, started a big wave of people wanting
dogs. He started a wave of parties, didn't he? Oh, shouldn't say that,
yes,
should I? No, move on.
One of the parties, yeah. Anyway, so it is that, you know, people, it's like, don't mention the war, and then everybody mentions the war. So, you know, don't get a dog, everybody gets a dog. So, and the lockdown dogs have been difficult. And as I say, everybody is thinking, you either get to a certain age or whatever reasons you think, oh, do you know, it'd be nice to get a dog. And having a dog is absolutely delightful. On the other hand, it can be a blooming nightmare because it's where you get your dog from. What sort of dog do you want? The dog that suits your lifestyle. A lot of people get a dog that a breed type that they grew up with. Now, that isn't necessarily the ideal dog for them. It might be the ideal dog for their parents, but is it the ideal dog for the kids? And I mean, the kids, these are grown up kids now when they contact us and they say, well, I've got this because we grew up with them. But growing up with a dog, you actually don't do very much towards the upkeep and the training of the dog. If you're a young person, you're normally just rolling around the floor with the dog. and that's great because it's what's happening there is you're taking the energy away from the dog and making life a bit easier for your parents that own the creature. But then as you get older and you think, well, do you know, I fancy that breed, makes you realise that what your parents did or didn't do towards that breed.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's just knowing what breed you should get, what breed works for you. And the funniest of breeds work for people. So don't be too disparaging about breed types. People have ideas of breeds. You know, there's the posh breeds. There's the one, I wouldn't have one of those. There's and you know, try them before you sort of discount them. And a lot of dogs, funnily enough, just find you as an owner, just through one way or another. It might be that you know you just got one. Somebody had a dog and they couldn't cope, and you took it on. You thought, oh, golly, I never thought I'd have this breed, but then it becomes the breed that you love. But
it's
difficult.
Strange thing, because you mentioned there a little earlier on about getting dogs from your childhood. Now, when I was a kid, we had a boxer dog.
All right.
And over the years, I've had many dogs, mostly labs, but had a big English Mastiff and a few other dogs in between. But currently, well, it was a couple of years ago, thought we lost one of our dogs. We thought, we want to get another dog. We thought, be good to go for a boxer. And looked at a rescue site, saw these boxers on there, toddle off to go and pick it up, only to find out that it is actually a miniaturised boxer. crossed with, we believe, a whippet. So,
right.
Yeah, we have a rather interesting thing. So if you think, about boxers, think about the behaviour. I mean, that would be the same with many dogs, of course. If you've not had a dog before, read all you can about the breeds and find out whether you can actually cope with them, because these dogs are actually quite a handful. And so the one that we got was pretty feral when we got him. He is, you know, to all intents and purposes, you look at him, he's a boxer, albeit he's three and he looks like a puppy of about 6 months and he's as fast as lightning. But he has some issues. So if you, the only advice I would say to anybody wanting to get a dog is look at the traits and the characteristics of that particular breed.
Well, yes.
And then double it a bit and then you might be getting close.
Well, absolutely. And also, you know, hurrah for getting a rescue dog in the first place. But it's not always the easiest option because, as you say, you can get a dog that's a little bit damaged. It does depend on the circumstances. I mean, there's lots of dogs going into rescue now that were the dogs that Boris suggested everybody went and got, and people are now, their lives are changing with COVID sort of changing and people going back to work. And so they're finding actually they don't have the time that they thought they had for this particular dog, which is only going to be, what, 18 months, 2 years at the outside now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are. I mean, the rescue centres we speak to are just getting rammed back full with all the dogs that people bought initially and bought for really, really big money. So don't be swayed by, oh, it was very expensive, so it's marvellous. It's none of that. Absolutely none of that.
The more problematical.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's become this awful greed thing where we have got some of the most extraordinary crosses in the last couple of, well, actually during COVID, the end of COVID, well, it's not really the end, but in the last couple of courses we've done,
yeah,
with training, we have had some of the extraordinary crosses that you really wouldn't believe. You think, why in God's name would you cross those dogs? Because we realise it's money, isn't it? It's somebody down the road met somebody up the road and said, oh, wait, why don't we put the two dogs together? And they're going for thousands.
You're talking about the likes of a Westie with a German Shepherd, aren't you,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Quite bizarre.
Yeah. And it, you know, trust me, Tony, that would happen because people see pound signs on their dog's heads.
Yeah.
And I think it's scurrilous. Because,
well, this is what they did with our little Archie. He's a lovely little fella, but he is a boxer crossed with a whippet. Now, boxers are naturally exuberant and whippets are naturally highly strung. They run ever so fast and have a fairly nervous disposition. And if you put the two things together, you've got this rather over-exuberant, terribly, terribly nervy dog. And it's not great, and it takes some handling.
Exactly, and we've got all rescue dogs, and you know it's a long haul. It's so rewarding, I must say. You've got to put the time into it. But then you see, if you're going to buy a dog from somebody, where do you go? Ideally, you look. Every breed out there has a breed rescue, so you can always contact them and see if there's any. They have the dogs, obviously, that need rescuing, but if they don't have any, you could, you know, to all intents and purposes, say, well, do you know anybody that would have a litter? So do your research properly. And again, be prepared to wait. Be prepared to travel. They just want something that's down the road, but you've really got to be prepared. We've had people go all the way up to Scotland and back. And they come
I went to Wales to get mine.
Well, exactly. So, you know, you have to be prepared to do that because if you haven't got time to travel to get the dog in the first place, you then really need to wonder, have we got time for the dog?
Mm.
And most people that we speak to, if I'm perfectly honest, when they get the dog and think, golly, I didn't realise it's going to take this much time. Well, it is. It's like dropping a 2-year-old in your house.
or younger.
Younger,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, just do your research, work out what breed you feel you want or what mixed breed. I mean, there's lots of breeds out there that are mixed breeds, but people think they're pure breeds. Like
what we used to call licorice all sorts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, labradoodles, cockapoos, things like that, they are mixed breeds. They are not a breed. So, and know about this. And also the health issues, which is what you said just now, because, you know, going to the vet with your dog is going to cost you. And things that go wrong with your dog cost you. So you've got to put that in. You've got to have that in the bank as well. I don't not go because you can't.
When I come back, I'm going to be a vet, I think. That's where it seems to be a thing.
I believe it's quite a stressful occupation.
I would think so, yeah.
You know, if you love these creatures, you must want to just sort of shout at a lot of owners thinking, why didn't you come, you know, a few weeks ago? But again, you know, quite often the price of vets puts people off taking their dog to the vet, but you cannot do that. Once you've bought a dog or you've rescued a dog, you're honour bound to look after it.
I think you're duty bound, aren't you? You've got to get them chipped and looked after properly. But the one thing I was going to say was, when if you're thinking about a new dog, when you mentioned rescue, and I'm all for rescues. In fact, all the dogs I had in the last few years have been rescue dogs, and I know yours are too. But I get so many people say to me now, I tried to get a rescue dog, but these centres want so much. It's not the money, it's the terms and conditions that they've got that they won't let me have. I've got a dog, but they won't let me have a rescue.
Well, and this is it. And funnily enough, over the last few months, I've been trying to get another dog to bring on for dog training. So my current demo dog can perhaps, you know, take a step
have
back.
A rest.
Yeah. Those that know her know she doesn't do an awful lot anyway. She does an awful lot of sleeping, and she gets up and do one turn and then go back to bed.
I think I know the one you mean, yes.
Yeah. But having said that, you know, it's nice to be able to have some young blood coming up, which is a natural thing. I mean, she's an item of work, I suppose, if you put it like that. But she loves it, absolutely adores it. And but, you know, contacting the rescue centres, applying and applying. Each time you have to reapply. They don't necessarily hold your, some do, but they don't all hold your applications. I've been turned down for so many. I was enraged. And you think, you know, you could say, well, if I'm turned down, there's no hope for anybody. But it's not about that. I honestly don't think they really read the applications. And I do think they're getting so many. So I don't know what they look for in an application form.
Oh, I can tell you, because I filled one out when we got Archie, and they are looking for a high enclosed back garden. You mustn't be out for more than 2-3 to 4 hours. You mustn't leave the dog in its own after that. And really, you should have another dog, and you should have had some experience of handling dogs. It's that sort of thing that they want, and I don't begin to understand. Most of it is to do with, as you said, when you said about people getting dogs, most of them haven't really got the time. And that is probably where the biggest issue is, I think, in terms of getting a new dog. These rescue centres don't like their dogs being left for more than about 4 hours at the tops.
I know, and I know why. It's because people say that, and then they leave them for 6 hours, which you cannot do. So there's no point getting a dog and leaving it all day, because you'll get a very damaged dog and a very damaged home. But, and I know about the fences and stuff like that, but I really do wonder what they do read, but I honestly think it's volume. As I say, we've got all those. We tick every box because we have dogs anyway, but to actually try and then rehome. And we're getting this time and time again from people. And I think a lot of it is obviously the rescues where there are dogs that are a bit damaged. Yes, they want a resident kind dog, which is fine. So if you wanted another dog, that's lovely to be able to do that. But some of the rescues, they will say this dog can be an only dog. That's fine. But people are getting so worn out with trying to get a dog and being turned down. They're all now, these are the ones, people are going abroad, and it's quite easy to get a dog from abroad.
Yeah.
And you can get a dog from abroad. We've been to people's houses for training, and the garden isn't completely dog proof. And you think, well,
that's essential, really.
Absolutely essential. And people say, oh, it's expensive to fence the garden. And you think, well, it'd be very expensive if your dog causes an accident out on the road. You will be sued. People, I don't really think people put that sort of effort in before they get the dog. There's so much to do before you get the dog. Make sure you've got a space where you can put its bed. What are you going to do with the dog? You know, get the food in place. Think about insurance. Have you got any holidays coming up? Because suddenly your holiday is there, and what are you going to do with the dog? You won't go into kennels because they'll all be full. So things like that. But most importantly, get your garden properly dog fenced, not a little tiny fence, and proper gates as well, because again, the rescue dogs are masters at escaping. And both you and I know, because we've got dogs from the same rescue, they are known as flight risks. So when you go and pick them up, they have to be so crated, you have to be so aware that if you stop on the way back from your rescue centre for a wee or somewhere, you have to make sure your dog does not get out the car, because you won't get it back again.
Well, we were rather fortunate that we actually took with us a travel cart, a travel cop. And what we did, dog goes in there. Once got used to it, he loves it. He sleeps in it now with the door open, and it's one of his safe places. But in the car, he's always in this, and his lead attaches to a hook that's on the outside of the crate. Mm-hmm. So even if we did open it and he shot out, he couldn't get anywhere because the lead's attached. So we're going to say was, with all the problems involved with the dog rescue centres, and good that they are, and it is really good that they are taking the welfare of the dogs that seriously. Sometimes they're a little harder to get a dog from than, say, a dog breeder, where you have to look at a different set of circumstances. If you're going to a dog breeder, you're not going to be looking too much at the oddities of the dog, because it hasn't had a chance to get too many oddities. It's going to be a puppy, but it's going to have a whole different sense of things that you're going to have to look at, like the medical stuff, the health. You know, certain breeds have bad hips, certain breeds have dodgy hearts, and you've got to get all the tests done for that sort of thing, which you wouldn't do with a rescue.
No, and a good breeder, if it's like the Labradors and things like that, they normally have the hip eye score already done, and you can ask them about that. But then again, and also know, you know, are you getting like them with the Spaniels and the Labradors, are you getting a working type or show type? And we ask people this when we meet them and see the dogs, and they look at you blankly and think, well, what do you mean? Well, is it a working or show? Because if it's a show dog, it's going to be a lot quieter, be quite a dominant dog, because they're quite often bred for dominance, although the ones they keep are those ones. And if it's working, there's a clue there, it's going to be busy. It's going to need a lot of mental stimulation.
Yeah.
And be prepared. What sort of work was it doing? Were there both parents working, or was one show, one working? So, you need to know about the medical side, and is it a sound dog? And you know, are they a good breeder? Have other people recommended it? You know, really, really, really do research.
Okay.
And, so... That's what I would do. But also, look at the dog itself. Be prepared to walk away if you're not happy.
Yeah.
People, I don't know anybody yet that's walked away from a dog because it doesn't look right, because they feel trapped, and or they feel, oh, my God, well, let's just rescue the dog and get it over and done.
Well, the natural reaction is to go, oh.
Exactly.
And, you know, lots of sympathy. Right, we're at our time for today, Wendy. It goes very, very quickly. So we've looked at dog rescue. We've looked at breeders and that. Haven't quite decided who should go for what dog, and we haven't really looked at training. So in a month's time, can we look at those two things and add in sort of the food that we should be feeding our dogs as well? Because, again, it's one of those things that for many it's a case of, oh, it's only a treat, and it's half of today's lunch.
Yeah.
Wendy, it's been good to catch up today. You'll come back in a month's time. We will talk to you then. For now, Wendy Claxton, thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Bye.
Thank you.